The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I have Autumn Connolly in studio and Debbie Campbell. Hey, everyone, how are you?
Great.
You don't sound convincing, Autumn, but I know
Autumn
you are.
Autumn doesn't feel that good.
I know, but I do know you had a great weekend. So
I did.
Yeah.
I had a great weekend. It was sunny.
Oh, my gosh.
We just went around to different parks and we're like enjoying the out of doors.
I love it. I love it. Yesterday's weather was like the most amazing weather here in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, for sure.
It really was. I got so much done. Can't even tell you, like, I had a powerhouse weekend.
Nice.
Powerhouse. I treated the fire ants. Did I tell you this in a text? I treated the I think I did, didn't I?
No.
I'm so proud of the fact, you guys. Diamond, listen, I treated the fire ants on my property all by myself.
What'd you put on them? Come do mine.
And, you know, I've got 3.5 acres, so it took me about an hour, I'm going to say an hour and 15 minutes, and you shake, you shake, you shake, you shake, you go around, you know, all the little, I probably had 100 fire ants because of all the rain, and my property's pretty big. Mm-hmm. And so it's an ant killer, and I don't have any other pesticides that I use on my property, but I do have to use a fire ant killer just because they're out of control, or my whole lawn would be nothing but fire ants.
Yeah, about ants, sure.
Where the heck did they come from? I mean, they're so invasive. I can't even believe how many there are, which tells you how many are under the ground.
I know.
It's like the whole ground is
the
fire ants.
Ants do a lot of good, too.
They do. I know. And I didn't. I know. And I found out I have a hornet's nest underground in my front. I found a really cool guy to come and do all of my what do you call it? My plants, my flowers, my
gardening.
Landscaping. They cleaned up all my landscaping and gave me a really good deal, too. So I just feel like I'm on fire.
Yeah, I know. I love when that kind of thing happens.
No pun intended.
You know, I had tons of hornets, too, a bunch of them, because my pigs were digging a mud hole in my backyard and all the wasps and hornets were like drinking the pig mud water or something.
Yeah. Well, you're the perfect person for me to ask, because you're like Snow White out there with all the beautiful animals and the birds, and this woman couldn't hurt a flea, literally. But so, yeah, how do I don't want to, I'm thinking, should I just leave them and winter's coming and I let nature take care of itself?
I don't
want to kill them.
Because of the kids, they can get a little bit aggressive, and then with our smaller dogs too. But I spray them with water, with like a really aggressive spray bottle, actually, and so it does like a hard stream of water, and then I put about 10 drops, I think it's 32 ounces of water of Dawn dishwashing soap.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it it destroys their exoskeleton and they die.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
Sounds brutal.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I can't have my daughter got stung in the face like 3 times by, you know, when she like came across a little wasp nest down in a rose bush that I had. I can't. For me, it's not worth it.
Well, and then they're even up in my tree. So, okay. Well, that's a cheap,
easy
solution.
They got rid of them right away.
Yeah. Well, I'll be working on that tonight. Even though I don't typically buy Dawn, I have heard that it's really good to kill fleas, though. On pets.
So those kittens, I put Dawn all over them. But, my kids were helping me, and the fleas right away, like they're gone, they're off of these kittens or whatever. Wonderful job. But at the same time, my kids' hands and my hands were like all peeling after using the Dawn, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what about people that use this every day to wash their dishes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's some caustic stuff.
Going into our waterways. Yeah.
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 It's better than the flea preventative or whatever for a young animal or something.
I think Procter & Gamble makes it.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
But it does serve a little purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'll use a teensy weensy bit. I'll borrow it from somebody else so I don't have to buy a whole thing of it.
I know.
Yeah. So I'll go to a, I don't know. I don't know where I'll go and get some.
Target. That's where I went.
Yeah. See, but you don't need very much.
No, you don't. Which is another scary thing. You know, like people are using a tablespoon to wash their dishes.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's like
yeah.
You need 10 drops and 32 ounces.
Well, I'm actually glad we brought it up. I'd have to pull into my phone. I saw the most unique cleaning system, if you will. I'll pull it up my phone here in a minute. I don't even know where my phone is, which is a good thing. It's probably in my purse. But it's this essential oil cleaning kit that I saw at Treehouse. When I was there getting some safe paint, I repainted my daughter's room, and I'm getting ready to repaint. I've got all this nesting going on. My friend Liz says, "Are you sure you're not pregnant? Like you're doing like some crazy stuff. You're like
come
you're
to
nonstop.
My house. Yeah, come to my house.
Yeah, and so, but it's this cleaning system that you refill with these essential oils, and you the spray bottles are beautiful too. So. You know, if you're going to clean, you might as well have it be fun, right?
Yeah.
It's this incredible, just incredibly good idea. And the aesthetics of it all is really beautiful. And the scents of the essential oils. But I pre-ordered 5 of them for Christmas presents. Maybe you'll
oh,
be
that's
the
awesome.
One. Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of it. It's awesome. A really cool name, but I don't have my phone, so I can't pull it up. And my memory's not pulling it up. But, you know, speaking of the brain, we've got a really great show coming up today. Debbie Campbell is in studio with us. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's been on the show before. This is a great subject. Does divorce eliminate or create more drama? Oh, boy.
It just depends.
I'm just going to let you talk, and I'm just going to ask simple questions. Oh, my gosh. We've got Robert Whitaker coming on. He has been on the show a couple of times before. I absolutely love this man. He is an American journalist and author who has won numerous awards as a journalist covering medicine and science. We're going to be talking about his book, The Anatomy of an Epidemic. Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America. It's a subject that I'm incredibly passionate about. And of course, Autumn Connolly, what's really in your milk and dairy products? A little pus, anyone? What else? You want to tease them with anything else?
No, it's just basically all gross.
It's all gross. Yeah, I know. I was eating a scoop of Cream Fresh, I think it was Thursday night, on a potato chip. And when I got it in my mouth, because I was preparing, I've been preparing for talking about this for some time with Joseph Keon's book, Whitewash, and then Milk Money is another book by Kirk Kardashian. I wondered if he was any relationship to the Kardashian family. Anybody know?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Okay. Well, we've got a great show coming up. So everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi guys, it's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo-poo-pee-doo.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 27th and 28th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com or at the door. Mention radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 27th and 28th. Don't forget to mention radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
You guys want to sing? This is Frank Sinatra.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother.
I guess nobody wants to sing.
You can't.
I'm not feeling it yet this morning.
This is who I always think about, the actress from that show, whenever I wear leopard print leggings.
Married with Children.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of the lady's name, but I wear a lot of leopard print leggings and several times a week, actually, and I'm always like, huh.
Yeah, love and marriage. I'm not sure they are together. I don't even know if they go together. I don't know. I have a probably not a very good attitude about marriage. After some of the things that I've been through, I'm just going to be open and honest about that part of it. But I'm here with Debbie Campbell. She is the co-founder of Curis, Functional Health, a series of holistic, multidisciplinary wellness clinics where chiropractors, therapists, and dietitians collaborate towards optimal well-being. She is the past president of the Dallas Association of Marriage and Family Therapists. Debbie has worked extensively with elite domain performance and perfectionism due to her unique background in applied sports psychology and positive psychology. She also enjoys helping couples achieve deep connection and safety in the relationships, as she is the only level 3 PACT, that is psychobiological approach to couples therapy clinician, in the Metroplex, and one of about 50 in the United States. So good to have you back in studio with us today, Debbie.
Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you here. We have some great conversations in between the breaks.
Always.
She's a brilliant woman, you guys. So listen up. We're going to be talking about, does divorce eliminate or create more drama? So divorce is defined as the legal dissolution of a marriage. However, in many cases, it does not represent the end of the relationship, especially when kids are involved. Unfortunately,
and they usually are,
and they usually are, and it can get really brutal. It really can. Mm-hmm. So, does divorce eliminate or create more drama?
Well, it depends. That's the answer. It depends. It depends on who you're dealing with and how emotionally mature they are, as well as how securely they do or do not function. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, divorce is not fun for anyone involved. Like, even if you're the person who wants the divorce, like, it's still not fun. And you know, getting married has a way of bringing up all of our attachment issues from our childhood, from mm-hmm. our family of origin. And so, you know, when we divorce, now there are a lot of hurts involved usually. Most people, you know, struggle with maintaining their emotional maturity in this experience because of ways that they've been hurt historically in the past, like growing up, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's being left out as a kid or being abandoned as a kid or being trapped and controlled as a kid. Or just feeling that way. And so when people get divorced, all of a sudden these icky feelings resurface. And the ways that they miscommunicated in the marriage or misunderstood each other in the marriage often carry on unless they take really active steps mm-hmm. to, you know, identify these things and then resolve them, right?
Yeah.
Like they commit to, like, this was a problem in our marriage and now we're going to have to deal with each other with some degree of separation, but separation is not enough to, you know, resolve these issues. So now we have to very actively work at these issues So I see a lot of couples pursuing a divorce who maybe, you know, would stay married if they could figure out these, you know, miscommunications, misunderstandings that they're having in their relationships. Because love is not enough. Love
well,
is not
and
enough.
I think people hook up too soon. I'm just going to say it. They do. And so they end up having all this, you know, passion and heavy sadness, sex, you know, and they misinterpret that for love. And then you, of course, can have that and have true love. You know, I've had both. And so it's but marriage, you know, I think that if people would just slow down and get to know each other really well before they get married and really think about, you know, the commitment, because that's what it comes down to. And, you know, I think you'd have a lot less marriages.
Well, it seems to me like, you know, people, you know, by not intentionally, just they manage to miss the agreements part of getting married. And so
when you say the agreements part, so
yeah, like, so, you know, you take wedding vows, right? And these are agreements that, you know, are supposed to be these sacred agreements, right? Like, and then there are more practical agreements, like, you know, I really like doing the dishes, you don't, I do them generally, but you like to cook. So, you know, we have these ways that we trade off in the relationship that are mutually good, right? It seems to me like a lot of couples miss the agreements portion of things.
Because they're too busy having sex.
Maybe they're too busy.
They're not thinking
sex.
About it. They just want more sex. They're like, this is great. This is my soulmate. I want to get married.
But to your point about getting to know each other better is like that expertise goes a long way. You know, oftentimes couples treat the relationship like it's really delicate and fragile and they could break it. And it comes at the cost of feeling safe and secure in the relationship, because the moment you treat it like it's breakable, you're accidentally signaling threat to your partner that the relationship is not as strong or robust as, you know, it could be, should be. And so, you know, in a divorce, think about how delicately people are treating that situation. And, you know, any inability to calm yourself down at the same time that you're calming your partner down, or any inability that you have to act adult, like, you know, you're the way that you are. I know these things about you. I accept them about you. That's you. To know that about you is you. A lot of times in divorce, people struggle with that. You know, I'm me. I want to be me. And how do we come up with something that's mutually good? It becomes a lot of me and you. I want this. You want this. We can't agree. And then the poor kids get dragged into the middle of that. And so, you know, in PACT, you know, we work with couples that are divorcing because we recognize that they most simply have missed some portions of how to do safety and security in relationship, whether that's through their missing lack of agreements, through maybe misunderstandings that, you know, they're, you know, you have what you want that's, you know, equivalent to what I want. So how do we come up with something mutually agreeable, right, that's good for both of us, that acknowledges what you want and what I want, and what we both think is good for our kids, for example, or what we both think is good for our divorce or extended family during the course of this repair situation.
Do you think that long-term monogamy is realistic?
That's such a tough question. Yes, I think it's realistic, but I think we have to acknowledge that we're living longer than we've ever lived, right? And we change a lot in the course of our lifetime. And so I think it's very realistic, but you have to recognize the limitations of your brain. Because the reality is the brain, you know, habituates things. So we automate things. So after knowing you for a while, I'll start to think that I know you, and it will come at the cost of knowing the real you, what you're really going through right now, the ways that you're changing as I'm changing too and evolving across time.
Well, I think couples just need to be more honest with one another.
I agree.
And let go of their fears. They let fears control what they do and they say and they feel. And it destroys relationships.
It destroys relationships, and it's very on point contextually for divorce, because it brings up people's worst fears, right? About how they're going to get screwed in this situation, you know, or what the other person is going to do to them, or what's going to be done to them. And when we operate from fear, it's like the lowest common denominator. We do things that are very selfish and self-protective.
Oh, gosh.
And it's not very team. It's not very teamwork, right?
Right.
So, I mean, selfish drives a wedge in teamwork.
Yeah.
And so you can't have both. You're either going to work like a team, or you're going to be selfish.
Yeah, in a divorce, you really get to see somebody's true character, too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
We should do a podcast after the broadcast about that. Autumn and I have been through some similar things, and Autumn just recently is going, well, you're not even divorced yet, are you? You're going through a divorce.
Not yet.
And it's just, it's actually fascinating. So you've got this person, and you're madly in love, and you love each other so much, and, you know, a few years go by, maybe a decade, maybe a couple decades, and then they are enemy number one. And you want to destroy them, you know, and you want them to live in a hole, you know. I mean, it's just unbelievable how brutal people can be to one another, especially since they used to supposed to be in love, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's how, you know, I've it's strange. I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm in my mid-30s, and it seems like a lot of women of my friends are going through divorces at the same time. So I don't know if it's like the kids hit a certain age or if it's based on the woman's age or what. But we're all going through these things. And it's like you look around and it is terribly interesting to see how people handle their ex-spouses.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's
you talk about baring your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, the worst, it brings out the worst in some people, not all people.
Not all people.
Yeah.
Not all people.
It is. It's not hit. It's the people, like the couples that I thought mm-hmm. would be like, oh, let's, you know, handshake this deal mm-hmm. and like move on, like, you know, now it's become cutthroat. And then there's other ones where they were such a seemingly, you know, easygoing couple, and I don't know, it's like you just don't even know what to expect when they finally,
like, they
want to
kill each other. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
so, Debbie,
pretty close to
how
it.
Do you prevent from killing each other?
Well, you got to get a hold of your fears. I mean, like, kids, you mentioned kids, Autumn.
Yeah.
You know, they're lovely, they're awesome, but they are formidable work, and they will pull on you, and mm-hmm. they'll pull on a marriage if you don't manage them appropriately.
Yeah.
So many parents, you know, are quick to put their kids first, when if they don't put the coupleship first, there's no partnership. There's
mm-hmm. That's right.
They're going to feel threatened. And so, you know, if you put the coupleship first, you guys are both going to be in agreement that the kids come
yeah.
first. And that's really how it needs to go in order to have safety in the relationship,
yeah.
which is, I will tend to you. No, I'm not saying I will neglect my child, but I will tend to you, because when I tend to you, you'll tend to me. We team up, and we are the best at navigating our
kids. And I say it depends upon the age of the child, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, you just have to be with someone mature enough to have the same goal. And I think mm-hmm. once you divorce and then you try to remarry and then have that other spouse try to help you raise your kids, that's just, oh, gosh, you
that's
talk about a
painful.
Disaster.
That sounds mm-hmm. terrifying.
It's a disaster. It is, you know. It really is, because they don't love your kids like you do.
Well,
you know, no one loves your kids like you do. They don't.
No.
It's just a law of nature. I mean, you might get a really good person
mm-hmm.
that maybe has an incredible heart that you know mm-hmm. can embrace and love your children as their own, but it's very rare. And
yeah.
that is where the problem is a lot of times, especially after a divorce when someone remarries.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I think all the time. That's why I'm doubling down on the kittens. I'm like, you know what?
Yep.
If anyone's stepping into this, they're going to get the real deal here.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go.
They're going to take kids, a million animals, and whatever.
Yep.
And it'll scare
yep.
away, I would assume, 99.9% of men.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so where do you want to go with this, Debbie?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm happy to roll in any direction. But, you know, here's the thing. It's, you'd think that people would get divorced because they want to end the pattern of pain, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the reason that you would divorce, was that commitment to
mm-hmm.
end the pattern of pain. But lots of people carry that pattern of pain forward.
Yeah.
And it comes at the cost.
Most do.
Yeah. And it comes mm-hmm. at the cost of this beautiful opportunity to do self-work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if your divorce is causing you that much agony about your partner, that much agony about life, that much agony about your kids, that you would say, like, something is going on here. And what a beautiful opportunity for me to work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't do that, which is also really shocking.
Yeah.
Because then they carry that pain forward.
The
and
distraction. People
yeah, pain,
love the distraction.
Well, that's how the divorce happened in the first place. Because
yeah.
probably one or both of those people wasn't able to look at themselves in the mirror and say, how am I guilty here?
Mm-hmm.
What have I done wrong?
Yeah.
Right?
And how can I grow from this? Like, even if I'm in agonizing pain, that's usually such an amazing motivator. Yet in divorce, oftentimes people are in agonizing pain. They're like, I don't need any help because it's the other person's fault. Instead of being able to say, like,
right.
regardless, I'm in pain and I need to do something for
mm-hmm.
myself about this pain. Like, I can't control someone else and their
yeah.
behavior, but I can certainly control mine and learn how to manage this differently better. Yet that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But when you're able to, there are these mythical unicorn couples that are very, very capable of engaging their emotional maturity and working together towards what's in the best interest of their kids and in the best interest of their growing families. Because, you know, they're likely going to gain another significant other and then the family's growing again. And they're not out there. They're out there. And they seem to understand that, you know, like having mutual agreements, working towards something that honors what both parties want, treating each other with respect is a way of self-respect and models for their kids really what they're wanting, right? Because at the end of the day, your kids are the ones who are really going to hurt.
Oh, gosh.
And even if there are no kids involved, you know, you're still going to go into the next relationship with all of the unresolved issues from the first one.
Absolutely.
So, like, you owe it to yourself to get that cleaned up.
Yeah.
Like, why would you let anyone
That's the biggest thing
scenario?
I wish people knew. I wish people knew that from jumping from relationship to relationship, you're just, like, setting yourself up for that same thing again.
Yeah, you're changing one set of problems for another set of problems because you're going to, you know, you have to be able to, you know, no matter what kind of relationship you're in, you're going to have problems. You're going to have things that are thrown in front of you that you have to overcome and learn how to get past it. But I don't know. So many people do think that, you know, it's not me. I'm just going to go right on to the next one.
The grass is greener.
What's another great expression from all that?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Well, we've got a great show continuing on here. Debbie, thank you so much. Can't wait to have you on again. We ought to do a podcast after the broadcast.
Yeah.
We should really dig down deep.
Talking about it. Yeah. Please just do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We've got a great show continuing on. Autumn Connolly is going to be talking about what's really in your milk or dairy products. And Robert Whitaker is an American journalist, an author who has won numerous awards as a journalist covering medicine and science. We're going to be talking about anatomy of an epidemic, psychiatric drugs, and the astonishing rise of mental illness in America. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. I navigate myself to take me where
you be. Wellbeing Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and this is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
This is Jill with the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute. Did you know magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure? Magnesium is required for energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, and glycolysis. That's a mouthful. How do you know if you're getting enough? Signs and symptoms of possible magnesium deficiency include restless leg syndrome, agitation, insomnia, muscle stiffness, cramping, and aches. Well, where do you find magnesium? Food sources include raw almonds, leafy greens like cooked spinach and chard, raw cashews, pumpkin seeds, black beans, avocados, and my favorite, dark chocolate. Don't forget those Epsom salt baths and be smart about supplementation. This has been the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute.
Hello, I'm Allie McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Oh, I love this song. This is the perfect introduction for Robert Whittaker. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Autumn Connolly and Debbie Campbell in studio and a very special guest, Robert Whittaker, on the line. He is an American journalist and author who has won numerous awards as a journalist covering medicine and science. In 1998, he co-wrote a series on psychiatric research for the Boston Globe that was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for public service. His first book, Mad in America, was named by Discover Magazine as one of the best science books of 2002, and Anatomy of an Epidemic won the 2010 Investigative Reporters and Editors Book Award for Best Investigative Journalism. He is the publisher of madinamerica.com. Such an honor to have you on the show. Robert Whittaker, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Yes, it's always. Thank you for coming back. You know, the last time you were on the show, we talked about disability. Can we talk about the number of adults and kids on disability due to mental illness in America?
Yeah, it has absolutely soared over the last 25 years. Right now, it's when 1987, we had about 1.2 million adults on disability receiving government payments due to mental illness. And now we're closing in on 5 million people.
Wow.
So that's rather remarkable. And the children is so stunning. In 1987, we had 16,200 children and adolescents said to be disabled by mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're around 700,000. So we've gone up, I don't even know what that is. What is that, 40 times, something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, your book is so good. It's so good. It's just really, really good. I'll give a shout out for it again. It's Anatomy of an Epidemic, Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America. So, you know, I'm going to quote you from when you were on in May. You said medicating children is a public health disaster. Can we talk some more about this?
Yeah, no, it's an extraordinary story. It really is. Because when you look at long-term outcomes for the youth that are being medicated with stimulants, antidepressants, antipsychotics, the long-term outcomes are horrible. You talk a lot of, you might be seeing physical problems, hormonal problems. I think there's some evidence of stimulants leading to addiction problems.
Mm-hmm.
You have cognitive problems, a sort of emotional blunting with some of these drugs. So, and maybe in a way the most profound thing is this. These drugs change the brain, so in response to the drugs go through these adaptations. And there's some signs now that even when you come off, your brain may not renormalize fully.
Right.
And we can talk about why that, you know, what some evidence for that is. But it's in a profound, profound thing we're doing. We're medicating more than 5% of our kids, and we have no evidence, I mean none,
right,
that this is helping kids grow up and thrive.
Well, and that's the most fascinating thing. We're so quick to put these children on drugs. You know, I was reading a blog on your website by Marilyn Wedge. She's been on the show a couple of times, too, mm-hmm. talking about, can children have bipolar disorder? And it's really interesting how quickly they want to throw children on you know, drugs for bipolar when they're not even sure if it's a real diagnosis.
Yeah, in fact, there was a study out today on that exact point. Listen, the juvenile bipolar thing is particularly egregious. If you look at the thought about bipolar, you know, 30 years ago or 25 years ago, bipolar was said to be a disorder of the mature personality. In other words, kids didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever mood swings you saw in kids were just seen as normal. But then you got pharmaceutical companies that brought these atypical antipsychotics to market, like Risperdal, and they wanted to market, and they wanted to expand the markets. And so they paid a man named Joseph Biederman, a psychiatrist at Massachusetts General Hospital, to start saying, oh, juvenile kids can get bipolar too, and you know what they need? They need Risperdal. So really, if you want to look at the juvenile bipolar story, a lot of it's about creating a market for antipsychotic drugs.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge topic. It really is. You know, we talked about how studies show that rates of suicide of people on psychiatric drugs are higher than those off the drugs, as well as those who are on psychiatric drugs over the long term, as you said, have an increased risk of chronic psychiatric symptoms. So why do we keep prescribing and not try different solutions?
That's a big question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think on the one hand, you know, some people get relief from them immediately. And we have this thing in the United States where you want to go to your doctor and get immediate relief for whatever's bothering you. And sometimes the drugs can do that. So that's the first thing. We're sort of geared up to get, quote, the magic pill from the doctor every time we go. Two, the information about the long-term effects hasn't been publicized the same way. Oh, well, you did a trial, got an FDA approved, the drug must be good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no industry, there's no profession that really wants to promote, you know, publicize the idea about these poor long-term effects.
Right.
So many people just don't know about them. And that's the problem. And finally, this is a big industry. In 1987, we were spending about $800 million on psychiatric drugs in this country. Now we're spending about $40 billion. So the industry's grown 50-fold in however many years that is, 30
yeah.
years. So that's another reason why.
Well, you know, yesterday I was at the grocery store and the Time magazine has a special issue, a special edition, Mental Health, A New Understanding. It talks about the antidepressant, looking out for loved ones, and the approach on campus, all these different articles. I haven't really dove very deeply into it yet, but it's fascinating. Here we are basically with a crisis in this country, and we really don't know what to do. But I personally, based on all the reading that I've done, especially reading your book, do not think that psychiatric drugs are the answer.
No, really, I think that's what we've learned in the last, you know, 35 years. Psychiatric drugs can't, you know, they just can't make everything right in your life.
No, they can't.
And they can't fix the brain either. But really what you find is places that really turn to say, well, how do we help people get well and stay well? Sort of a wellness model instead of an illness
mm-hmm.
model. Those approaches are so much better at, say, helping kids who are struggling with school. Or let's say someone's depressed, and maybe you know they have you know financial problems. Maybe they got divorced. Maybe they lost someone. Maybe they're working two jobs. Well, a pill's not going to fix all those
right.
problems. So, and you know what we are finding is diet makes a difference. Exercise makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Finding meaning in your life makes a difference. Socializing can make a difference. So I really think what we need to do is switch from this illness model, meaning that we can fix depression with a pill or
mm-hmm.
kids not happy, to think about, well, what sort of environments do we need to create for people so they feel, you know, more supported and more engaged in that
yeah.
environment.
Well, if we did it when they were children, we wouldn't have grown adults with so many complications, if you will, mental and emotional complications. I'm thinking about, again, the blog that Marilyn Wedge wrote on your website, madinamerica.com. Can children have bipolar disorder? She cites a case of this young boy, Adam, that says the second thing that knocked me over was a psychiatrist had prescribed a powerful drug like Abilify, off-label, for an eight-year-old. On the homepage of the drug, the manufacturer states that it is that the only pediatric disorder for which Abilify is indicated is autism. And I don't agree with that either. Then you're just continuing to poison their brains. But that's a whole different show. But it says, for pediatric patients, it may be used to treat manic or mixed manic and depressive episodes for children from 10 to 17 years old. But this is what she writes, that the third most important thing about this scenario, however, was that Adam was by no stretch of the imagination anything or had anything like bipolar disorder or even disruptive mood dysregulation order, and yet he was put on this medication. But after seeing her for two sessions, she came to the conclusion that what Adam was suffering from was inconsistent discipline, and something as simple as that after two sessions with a counselor. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm, you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that we jumped the gun too soon, right?
No question about it. And you know something, Marilyn's, that piece I think has been read something like 250,000 times. It shows that people are not happy with this idea of just medicating kids left and right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, medicating an 8-year-old for, you know, when you see him for the first time, that should be malpractice, actually.
I couldn't agree more. No. Well, and you know, she, I know from one of her books that I've read, you know, she cites example after example of all you have to do is examine, you know, the family to see that there's like this one little thing that might need tweaked. But children react so differently than adults do. And we really need to have a deeper understanding of what's going on in children's minds so we don't medicate them so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to hear their stories, right? You got to find out what is going on in their lives and ask them, what do they want changed and that sort of thing. You ask kids, you know, what's going on. You actually get them engaged. And they'll start telling you what they're not unhappy with.
Yeah. Well, it's such a vital piece of your child's well-being, and they need to have a voice. They need to feel validated and understood. We all do, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, I hope you'll come back. I love having you on the show. I really do. Your book is absolutely fascinating. Anatomy of an Epidemic, Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America by Robert Whitaker. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Burnett. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for writing the book. Amazing journalism. You guys, stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on. Autumn Connolly is next. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Did you know pigeons mate for life and are devoted to their families? Their vision is far better than that of humans. They have excellent memories. Their navigational skills are astoundingly complex, and they're able to recognize their own reflection in a puddle or mirror. Eugene Field wrote this tender lullaby. Sleep, little pigeon, and fold your wings, little blue pigeon with velvet eyes. Sleep to the singing of mother bird swinging, swinging the nest where her little one lies. With 8 children of his own, perhaps Mr. Field found in pigeons, with their excellent parenting skills, the same protective, nurturing bond he felt for his own family. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by seeking help for any injured bird we encounter.
Thank you.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, Autumn Connolly, and Debbie Campbell. I want to let everyone know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors that bring this great programming and education to you. Sun Warrior, such a great company. You can get Sun Warrior at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. In fact, I had a Soul Good bar this morning, and it was so good. I had the blueberry one, but it's great, plant-based, raw, organic protein on the go. That's why I get them. And Blueberry Blast is my favorite. But Sun Warrior is a premier, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn about all of their products. And, of course, Squatty Potty, the original squat-to-poop toilet stool, the modern-day toilet is convenient, but it has one major fault. It requires us to sit. And while doing your business, it's best to squat. Do you have one, Debbie? Do you have a squatty potty?
No.
You don't? Okay.
You need one.
Andre needs one, too. The whole family needs them.
Merry Christmas.
Now, yeah, Merry Christmas. Well, it's a great Christmas present. And then,
yeah, I got mine as a birthday present from someone and gave it to me.
Well,
for my
and
birthday.
If you're potty training kids, you start them out with the squatty
potty.
Yeah,
mine love it.
There's no, I'm just, it's, I mean, we do it every day, okay?
Right.
Or at least you should.
You should be.
You should be. If you're not, I'm sorry. You know, you need to get a squatty potty and really examine what you eat.
Yeah, look into some other things if you're not.
Yeah. Well, and dairy exactly. might be one of the things that you're
that's
eating
right.
that,
that's
that'll,
right.
that'll make you not have to use the bathroom as often. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to let everyone know that you can use the code OLR for 20% off your first order of the H Hemp Company. That's hhemp.com. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't forget my CBD oil, once in a while, but it keeps me level, focused, and ready to take on the day. It makes me happy, actually. The H Hemp Company is made only with premium hemp cannabinoid genetics tested by third parties to ensure no pesticide solvents or any other contaminants, and it's non-GMO. And to create their MCT tinctures, they start with sustainably farmed hemp grown in the United States without pesticides. And of course, Paleo Magazine, visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store near you and pick up a copy. I get mine at Central Market. The Wellbeing Journal, I get mine at Natural Grocer. And I heard that there was a fresh batch of Ether Elixir that came in. And every flavor at...
I made that match. Thank you.
Did you make that batch?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you yes ma'aming me for?
I make all the batches.
You're a Southern girl. So I heard that Natural Grocer had all your flavors.
Yeah,
they just got a new shipment.
Yeah, we just did them all. Maybe somebody wanted them all. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've just got
what's your favorite Ether Elixir?
My favorite's the blackberry.
Is the blackberry?
And also all the ones that I make that aren't on retail.
The blackberry one is very good with vodka.
Maybe that's why it's my favorite.
No, they're all good. I was just joking. But people do use them to mix with cocktails to make
For sure. The beet one tastes really good with any kind of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like I've tried it with tequila, with gin, with vodka, and pretty much a win.
Well, with the holidays coming up, it is a great mixer. It really is. So,
is.
And I love mixing with you, having you on the air with us. I do. Autumn Connolly is a self-taught vegan cook. She's a mom of two and a researcher of all natural remedies. An animal lover, she teaches free meditation and yoga classes in Fort Worth. And she's written a children's book. And as I said, Ether Elixir, she invented it. So you can find her at probioticsyall.com. Today, we're talking about what's really in your milk and dairy products. Okay, girl, this is a big subject. So many people don't know what we're about to tell them. So let's talk about milk. What are some of the things that are found in everyday milk products?
Everyday milk products, the one that people like, the most salacious thing is pus, which just grosses people out. So I enjoy telling people that because, I think it helps swing the vote over to the vegan side of the table here.
Right. So, and this is very real. This is very real.
This
is not exaggerated. This is not made up. In fact, they are allowed, 70,000, up to 70,000. I have it here somewhere.
Well, there's all these different measurements, 200 milligrams or something per liter.
I'll pull it up here in a second.
It's quite a bit, actually. It's more than you would think is acceptable. And realistically, the only reason that it's actually even monitored is because it the somatic cells, the pus cells, they actually encourage bacterial growth. So the FDA does monitor the amount of pus that goes into the milk, but not because it's super creepy gross, but because it's dangerous also.
It is. So it's called the somatic cell count. The SCC is the measurement of white blood cells per milliliter of milk. Currently, the upper limit is 750,000 per milliliter. Somatic cell counts have been used to bestow health honors in dairy herds that consider the Greene County Dairy Herd Improvement Farmer Appreciation Luncheon, an event sponsored by the Greene County Milk Quality Council of Wisconsin. At their March 2005 event, top honors went, and I know that's a little dated. I'm reading this out of a little bit dated book, but nonetheless, it's true. At their March 2005 event, top honors went to a herd that had an SCC of 70,000 per milliliter, and a second place went to a herd with 98,000 per milliliter. So it's crazy that consumers, you know, that we allow this.
Yeah,
in our milk, but you can't avoid it if you're gonna.
No, you can't. And then the reason why the pus is there is because they're white blood cells. They're trying to counteract an infection. But guess what else is going into that cow to counteract that infection? All kinds of crazy medicines.
Yep.
And so those are also allowed in the milk and are in the milk that you're drinking.
Well, and I'm looking. It says that cows suffer from painful infections.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very painful. The way that they milk them, the cows are constantly being impregnated. You know, the only way that a female cow can produce milk is if she's regularly having offspring.
Yeah, and that's enough. So they artificially inseminate them. So I think the cow should start a hashtag Me Too cow movement. Like, seriously, because they are so violated all over the world. The females of goats, cows. I mean, I was thinking about how insane is it that we eat veal? How insane is it that we eat veal? And who started that? The Italians. I'm going to give the Italians blame for that.
Well, you know, really who started that is whoever's drinking the milk. Because in order to have all the milk, you have this excess of male cows. And what are you going to do with the excess? Well, you got to find a way to make money off of them. And that's veal. So, you know, they're taken away from their moms and then they're used as veal. Mm-hmm. It's creating a market for something we wouldn't otherwise eat.
So most veal is baby boy cows.
That's right. Because the females, they go into making.
Did you know that? Yeah,
production.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. What am I thinking?
It makes perfect sense.
But so these cows, the female cows, they're kept in these little cages, just large enough for them to stand up. Their necks are chained. They're reaching the only place that they can go is to stick their head into their food bin. They can't go anywhere else. They're impregnated inside of this. They have their calves inside of this. The calves are then taken away from them and life just keeps going on and on.
Well, I've actually had mastitis before. The first time I breastfed my first baby, I got mastitis, probably from going back to work too soon. Because you really do, after having a baby, have to take a little time off to just, you know, get your body well again. But it's incredibly painful.
Incredibly painful.
I'm reading some other stuff here, like in the milking industry. So calves' tails are cut off.
Yeah, they're all cut off because, they whack things.
Oh, my gosh. And that cow's hair is burned off with torches?
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. Their horns are sawed off? What are we doing?
The whole point of that is obviously that's terrible, but the health impacts of it are also terrible. Everybody's told, you got to drink your milk to grow strong bones. There are not studies showing that milk grows strong bones. If you see something in there that says milk does have a high level of calcium, but it's also an animal protein. And when your body's consuming that animal protein, it's so difficult for your body to digest that it's actually leaching calcium out of your body.
Right.
So the more milk you drink, the less calcium you have.
It's a big ad campaign. It's a big lie. You don't need that much calcium in your body. In fact, you need silica more, not more than you do calcium. You do need calcium, of course.
And vitamin D.
All kinds of things. Oh, we're going to have to talk about this again next week because there's so much to know about cows and methane gas and lost resources.
We could talk about it for the next year.
Yeah, we could. It's an incredibly big subject. And but I understand the other side of it too, because I'm reading about the milk industry and how difficult it is, to keep those farmers sustained. So we'll talk about all of it. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you guys so much for being in studio. You know, everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.